Thanks for listening to the Velocity Church podcast. We hope that this message encourages you, inspires you, and challenges you to take your next step with Jesus. Now, here's the message.
Hey, if you brought your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 13. If you didn't bring your Bibles, it's going to be up on the screen as well. John chapter 13. We're starting a two-week mini-series called Journey to the Cross. And this is going to be a little bit of a shorter message today, a little bit shorter, unless, you know, we'll stay in here till they kick us out, I guess, and then we all go eat lunch. But we're in a teaching called Journey to the Cross. And over these next couple weeks, we're encouraging our church to be intentional about gathering together. If it's just with your family, your family, or maybe you have extended family or friends or whoever it is, maybe it's just, you know, a quick get together with coffee or a meetup or something like that. Or maybe you invite a family over to your house just for dinner. Or maybe it's just you and your kids and you and your spouse and your kids. But just gathering together and being intentional about seeking the Lord during this season. Really being intentional about it. And not just kind of letting Resurrection Sunday kind of just show up and then we just kind of go from there, right? But let's take time to really think and really focus. We're coming up here, of course, before Easter Sunday. We're going to have an online Good Friday service. We do this every year. It's a short communion service that we do online. Wherever you're at, wherever you're meeting from, we would encourage you to join us on our YouTube channel. You can tune in. We can take communion together. But again, it's just time to be intentional to go, Lord, what are you speaking to us? And also time to sit back and reflect on what Jesus did for us. And some of the most amazing moments that I've had as a parent, as a dad, have been literally sitting around the table with my kids and just talking about the Bible. Just talking about the Word of God with my kids. There's just been such great memories of doing that, and some questions come out of that from them. And some of the best moments, taking communion with my wife, Hadley, you know, while we're gathered around the TV with our church, kind of watching and joining in together and doing that. And just being intentional about doing it, right? And not letting it just kind of sneak by us. So over these next couple weeks, I just want to encourage you, we created a channel on Loop called Journey to the Cross, okay? So all you have to do to find that channel is you go into the Loop app, you click the filter on the top button there. There's a filter up there on the very top of the screen on your homepage, and you can find whatever channel you're looking for in Velocity Church. You pick the Journey to the Cross channel, and we're going to be posting daily content, but it'll also send you notifications as well, so that way you get it sent to your phone and you don't have to go looking for it. But I want to encourage you to get on there and to just read some of those passages as we go throughout this week, to join one another and gather with one another. And again, if it's just for coffee, if it's just a quick conversation, connection, whatever it is, being intentional about seeking Jesus during this time. And so today we're going to talk about the famous story where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. Next week, I'm going to be teaching again. We're going to be talking about the Garden of Gethsemane. I'm looking forward to that. And then the week after that, it will lead to Good Friday and then Easter Sunday. So it's going to be here before we know it. So again, if you brought your Bibles, John chapter 13. And we're going to read verses 1. We're going to try to get through 16 verses. We're going to do our best here, okay? So here we go. This is what it says. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I just want to stop right there just for a moment because it says he loved them to the end. The big idea in John 13 and Jesus washing the feet, the overarching big idea theme here is the love of Christ. And like you see it demonstrated. How many of you know that love is not just an emotion or a feeling? It's an action. It's an action. It's what you do, right? It's not just a feeling, but it's an action. And Jesus here, he demonstrates what it looks like, what love looks like. Don't ever grow numb to the fact that Jesus loves you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him, that's good news. God doesn't pick and choose. He doesn't have favorites. Whosoever believes of the world shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He so loved the world. God so loved it. He didn't just kind of love, just I'm going to tolerate. No, he so loved you that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Don't ever let that become old hat. And don't ever grow numb to the idea that God loves me. God loves me. Do you know what that means? That is such good news. He loved them to the end. Realize the hour is coming in this passage very near where Jesus is going to lay his life down. And he's together with his closest friends, his followers, the disciples. And he loved them to the end. And it says in verse 2, during supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. See, Satan had already put it in the heart of Judas. What is Judas going to do? He's going to betray Jesus. And the enemy had already put it in the heart of Judas. Judas has already made a covenant with the devil. I'm going to betray Jesus. You might ask, for how much? Well, what did it take for Judas to betray Jesus? Well, that's equivalent to a few hundred dollars. That's all it took for Judas to betray Jesus. A few hundred dollars. And it goes on to say, put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son. Now here's something important to note. The only time this Simon is ever mentioned in Scripture is in this verse. Simon's son. Parents, if your name was in the Word of God, how would you feel if the only time your name was mentioned was in a sentence that says, your child will betray Jesus? It's the only time this Simon is mentioned in all of Scripture. You know how important our jobs are, parents? Man, it is your first ministry above everything else. Of course, you and your spouse working together, training your children so they will not depart from it when they're old. That is the first priority. That is your first ministry. You know, statistics would say that usually it's moms that bring their kids to church. A lot of times, you know, and you see this in the church, you'll see that you know, numbers will skew, and it's a lot of times it's moms bringing their kids to church and they're going, well, where's dad at? You know, where's dad? Well, he's at home. He decided to stay home, right? Dads, we have one of the most crucial, important jobs in leading our families. That's why I love this church so much, because it fires me up and pumps me up every time I see dads walk into this place with their kids, with their wives, with their families. Listen, I've seen dads here at Velocity, maybe their wives are out sick or something, and they're bringing the kids to church because they're not going to miss. That's powerful. Yes. That is defying the odds of what is really going on out there. So thank you, dads, for pressing in and pushing forward. You don't know what kind of impact that will have on your kids, that they see what you prioritize as their father, that it's important that mom and dad are bringing kids into the house of God, that they're going to church, that we're going to go to church, we're going to read the word. We follow Jesus and we mean it. And when your kids see that modeled, it plants seeds in their heart that will last for a lifetime. That'll last for a lifetime. It's so crucial. It's so important. I couldn't imagine my name being written and it saying that my child, oh, to betray Jesus. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. So Jesus, he stands up and he laid aside his outer garments and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. So, what's happening here? What's going on? The context that's really important for you to understand here and what's happening in John 13 is what's previously been taking place. The disciples were kind of having a little argument. Okay, they were kind of fighting together. Any of you parents in here, you ever see your kids fight around the dinner table? Does that ever happen? No, never. Sweet, beautiful. It never happens, right? No, not ours. Ours are perfect. They're sweet, beautiful little angels. They never fight. They're so sacrificial when it comes to passing the French fries and the gluten-free grilled chicken nuggets. But you know what I'm saying, right? Hey, I wanted that. No, I wanted that. Something kind of similar is going on, but they're not, the disciples aren't fighting over food. They asked a silly question to Jesus. Who's the greatest? You know, in the kingdom of God. Who's the greatest, right? When you think about that, like looking back, that had to be awkward. You're asking Jesus Christ Jesus, but like between like us, who's the best between us? Who's the greatest? And so it's important to know that context, because what does Jesus do in response to that? He gets up. Because what does he see? Proud hearts. Pride. And so Jesus, he sees this, right? Proud hearts, and then a bunch of men who've been walking around, they've got dirty feet, right? What you need to know is, like, they were wearing sandals, okay? They weren't wearing your On Clouds with fresh socks that you just picked up, right? They didn't have the memory foam, okay? They were wearing sandals, and their feet would have been filthy, okay? So he gets up, he walks over, and he kneels down, and he begins to wash their feet. Now, many of you have heard this story before. You need to know this, that this task of washing feet, the host would never do this. It was not a job that the host would say, hey, you're coming over to my house, let me wash your feet for you. It was reserved for the servants of the house, right? The host would not wash feet. The host would go, hey, you want your feet washed? Hey, come here. He'd call his servants over and say, hey, wash their feet. And it was kind of like a little flex. Like, I got people that'll wash your feet. You know what I'm saying? So Jesus, Son of the living God, kneels down and does a job that everyone else in the room thinks they're above. We're above that. We couldn't do that. No, we couldn't. We're too good for that. We can't wash feet. It wasn't, Jesus wasn't, he didn't think that he was, well, do you think Jesus was too good for that? Like Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, yet he kneels down and demonstrates this is love in the face of pride. He does this to all his disciples. You know who that includes? Judas. The one who's going to betray him. He kneels down and washes Judas's feet in what is known in that moment when Jesus washes Judas's feet as the greatest demonstration of light overcoming darkness. Amen. As he washes the feet of the man who is going to betray him for a few hundred bucks in our equivalents there. And he starts wiping the dirt that he created off of a group of men that he loved. And he washes their feet one by one. And then I love Peter. How many of you love Peter? How many of you just identify with Peter in the Bible? He's like, I get Peter. Okay. Listen to what it says. In verse 6, he came to Simon Peter who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? I think that's kind of funny. Like he's washing all their feet, but then you know what Peter's thinking? My feet too? Like how many of you would have been with Peter? Not my feet. Some of you are like, nope, nobody's washing my feet, right? He's like, my feet too? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. In other words, Peter, you don't get it right now, but you will. So just, it's going to be okay, right? Verse 8, Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Look at Jesus' response. Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." If you don't allow me to do this, Peter, you don't share with me. You don't let me serve you and wash your feet. We have no share. You do not share with me. And look at Peter's response. I love his response. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." You really see the heart of Peter right here. If it means I don't have a share with you, Lord, then not just my feet. Wash my hands and my head. You see his heart. See, I want you to grab a hold of this. Jesus is the center of this story. There's two other characters. We have Peter and we have Judas, right? Two men that are going to take two drastically different paths. But two men that saw the same things, they were both there for the miracles of Jesus. Both present for the teachings of Jesus. Saw Jesus, were under Jesus and his leadership. Watched Jesus. There with him in the flesh. Saw the miracles. Both of them. Take a step further. Taught people. Other people of Jesus. Yet one goes this way and one goes that way. Why the separation? Why did Peter go this way? Now, is Peter perfect? No. By far. He's not perfect. But you see his heart. You see his heart. See, the difference between Peter and Judas, Jesus has Peter's heart. He does not have Judas's heart. He has Peter's heart. He does not have Judas's heart. That's the difference between the two. One's going this way, one's going that way. One's betraying Jesus, right? Peter, you ever heard the saying, like, wear their heart on the sleeve? Like, you always know where Peter's at. Like, no, I'm not washing your feet. No, or you're not washing my feet, Lord. No. No, you're not going to do it. Like, he's very external in how he responds. How about Judas? Very quiet. He's very sneaky. He's very covert. He's very, like, you don't know what he's thinking. You don't hear from Judas. Judas is sitting in the back just quiet as he's preparing himself to betray Jesus and turn him in and to get his money. Peter's like, "No, Lord." And Judas is like, "You can wash my feet. Yeah, go ahead." And it's a picture for us. Don't be covert in your sin. Don't be secretive in your sin. It's the difference between overt and covert. Peter and Judas, totally different. One, Jesus had their heart. The other, he didn't. And it's a real simple question today. Honestly, it's a real, what it comes down to is this, is does Jesus have your heart? Does he have your heart? Both went to the Bible studies. Both went to church. Both men did the church thing. Okay? Both, they planned, they organized, they served. They were on the serve team. They joined together, right? They were both in the same place. But does Jesus have your heart? You can be in this place. You can be in this church your whole life. Your whole family can be in this church your whole life. But if Jesus doesn't have your heart, you're headed the same direction, the same path that Judas was on. If Jesus doesn't have your heart, some of you are like, "Whoo, that's a hard pill to swallow." I tell you that today because I love you. Does Jesus have your heart? And that's between you and the Lord. That's a question to ask that's between you and God. But the response is, if he doesn't, I need to give him my heart. I need to give him my heart. I need to quit playing these games at church. Just because mom and dad accepted Jesus and you watched that modeled, don't hang on to their coattails and expect that that's going to get your foot in the door. This is a decision between you and the Lord. It's a decision between you and the Lord. I remember talking to kids when I first started teaching and preaching. I started in youth, and I would preach to youth. And me and Hadley started a youth group. This is years ago in the church, and we called it Aftershock because we thought we were cool. Aftershock. Yeah, they'll come to that, right? We did all kind. We had all these events and planned all these different things, these different events, and we'd have these kids. We started having a lot of kids show up. I mean, kids who their parents didn't come to church, but they pressed in. Youth kids would be walking into youth. We grew that youth group to a big size, and they would come, and I'd do the music. I'd sit up there and I'd play a few songs, and then I'd give them a message. But I'll never forget this one evening. We had a room full of kids. And the message I shared with them was very similar to what we're talking about here today. But it's like, your parents can't do it for you. Like, mom and dad can't, you know, when you're standing face to face with Jesus, it's you and him. Like, it's you and him. And how many people are in the flow of religion in churches? And they're going week in and week out, riding on the coattails of someone else's faith. It's between you and the Lord. And I know this is a strong teaching, but I'm teaching what the Word. I'm teaching the Word. I'm bringing the Word. And this is what I feel the Holy Spirit is calling me to share with the church here this morning. Is, does he have your heart? Does he have your heart? And that's between you and Jesus. Those are the primary differences between the two. I love what Jesus says. He says, I'm going to skip down a little bit. I'm going to skip to verse 12. He says, when he had washed their feet and put out his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I've done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Meaning this, you and I are called to serve others. Jesus modeled for us what he's calling us to do. We're called to serve other people. When we see a need that needs to be met, I can do that. I can help that. I can do that. I can be a part of that. It doesn't always have to be this massive, you know, huge sacrificial thing. It could be just like a conversation with someone. Just listening, letting someone speak, letting someone talk to you, just being an ear for somebody, right? Maybe it's a small financial thing. It's like, I can do that. I can do that. I can make that happen. Meet that need. I can do that. I can sacrifice that. I can show and demonstrate the love of Christ to other people. You and I are called to do that. And we're called to do that to who? To the world. We're called to do that to the world. To a lost, broken world needs Jesus. You want to know how you change the culture? It's by doing what everyone else thinks they're above. That's how you change the culture. You know how Velocity Church is going to change the culture in Brenham? You know how we're going to become more and more a Jesus community in Brenham, Texas? In Belleville? In Burton? Giddings, Waller, Somerville, the surrounding areas. You know how we're going to become more of a Jesus community? Serving one another. Doing the things that everyone else thinks they're above. And like Jesus being willing to go, I can do that. Let me wash some feet. And Jesus says, essentially what he says at the very end is, if I can do it, you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. And that's a message for all of us here today. It's different for everybody in the way that you are going to be able to serve someone and demonstrate that kind of love. But I would ask you that as we go throughout this week, as we leave here and as we go throughout this week, that we would ask the Lord to open our eyes to things that we can do and how we can serve somebody, how we can show someone the love of Christ. What can we do? How can we become more and more like Jesus? He washed feet. Okay. We can do the same. We can do the same. We can serve. All right, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this church. I thank you for this day. Lord, I pray over each and every person who's here. If there's anybody today who doesn't know you, God, I want to give them the opportunity to accept you. We do this every week. We give people the opportunity to accept Jesus because it's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. You can go to church your whole life, but if Jesus doesn't have your heart, you're far from him. The Bible says that men will say, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? And Jesus will look upon them and say, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. Let that not be what we hear, Velocity Church. Not one of us. So Father God, I just ask, if there's anybody here today who needs to accept you as their Lord and Savior, that they will set aside any hindrance that would keep them from just lifting their hand and say, I want Jesus. Doesn't matter what the person to my left or to my right thinks. This is between you and the Lord. So I want to give you that opportunity here today. If you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, can you just lift your hand up so I can see it? If you want to make that commitment here this morning, I see your hand. I see your hand. Amen. Praise God. Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, I want to accept Jesus today. I want to take that step. I see your hand. Amen. Amen. You can put your hands down. Praise God. Church, let's pray this all out loud together. I want you to pray this included here with me. And as we pray, this is just our profession of faith. I believe when you lifted your hand that God saw your heart right then and there. Let's pray this out loud together, church. Father God, I know I've sinned. I know I've fallen short of your glory. Today is a new day. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and 3 days later rose again to eternal life. I repent of my sins. I turn from my old ways. And I choose to follow you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, look up at me. Can you give God praise in here this morning? Come on. Don't ever let it get old when someone accepts Jesus. Never let salvation get old. Never let the miracle of God saving your soul ever get old. If somebody today put their faith in Jesus, two people profess their faith, escape the jaws of death. The Bible says that all heaven is having a party when one person comes to know Jesus. So let's just praise God one more time. Put our hands together. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We stand to our feet here this morning. And we're going to be dismissed. And I know we went a little long. We'll make it out there to feed the church. Don't worry. There's plenty of barbecue, plenty of food. Thank y'all so much for letting me teach and talk and shout and all the things that we did up here today. But I'm going to go ahead and pray. And then we're going to head out here this morning. So Father God, I pray over this church. Pray over this body. I thank you for protecting them. Thank you for always being with them. Pray that you'd lead them, you'd guide them, you'd go before them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening today. To stay connected, visit us online at velocityburnham.org and follow us on Instagram. And if you're ever in the Burnham area, we'd love to have you visit us on a weekend. Thanks again, and we hope to see you soon.